Alibaba's Chuen models were downloaded more than 3 billion times in the last 6 months, according to a Hugging Face report cited by Bloomberg. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is August 16th, 2026. That 3 billion figure is the single concrete number we'll open on, and it matters because scale changes the kinds of problems we'll need to manage. Alibaba's Chuen family just cleared a jaw-dropping usage milestone, more than 3 billion downloads across the model family in 6 months, Bloomberg reports via a Hugging Face dataset. That's a raw count, and some people in the field warn downloads can be inflated by automated polls, but the bigger point is real. Open-weight models from that company are now a default toolchain for many developers. Watch this, because open weights mean the politics of deployment shift from a few cloud APIs to anyone running models on their own servers. New framing on AI and math. A column argues many recent model wins aren't proof of emergent genius so much as a memory advantage. Models can hold long chains of equations and intermediate steps in a way human brains can't. The anchor here is cognitive research showing working memory predicts math performance, and the claim is models effectively get a gigantic external notebook. Takeaway: when a model nails a proof, ask whether it reframed the problem or just kept better bookkeeping.
And in the developer trenches, the OpenClaw community flagged a compaction plugin called Lossless Claw that's been aggressively folding session history, apparently affecting Colorado DEX-style agents more than others. That's concrete and actionable. If you run long-lived agents for coding or automation, compaction changes what gets preserved and can make agents stop mid-task or lose checkpoints. The immediate advice from the thread was reproduce the behavior on a test stack and check memory slot settings before pushing to production. Something shifted in the Singularity subreddit this week. A high engagement post argued we're gravely underprepared, not just technically for advanced AI, but psychologically. The poster's core claim, which lots of commenters amplified, is simple and stark. A world with artificial superintelligence will feel genuinely alien, and our social systems, mental health services, and cultural scripts aren't ready for that dislocation. The concrete evidence in the thread isn't a study, it's pattern recognition. People pointed to the speed of past technological shocks, recent safety assessments that rate preparedness only as a C+, and the fact that many developers themselves report surprise when systems behave in non-human ways.
Let's unpack why that psychological shock matters. First, identity and meaning. Jobs are the obvious example, but the deeper issue is roles that structure daily life. Expert judgment, legal authority, artistic authorship, spiritual counsel. If an ASI can outperform specialists across many domains, large swaths of professional identity evaporate quickly. The practical consequences are not just unemployment numbers, they're collective narratives. Communities that derive status and meaning from particular skills will experience grief, resentment, and a search for who we are now. That's the kind of phenomenon that fuels politics far more effectively than fine-grained economic projections. Second, trust in epistemic authority. Right now, institutions, universities, peer review, courts, news organizations anchor what people accept as reliable knowledge. An ASI that invents new science, diagnoses disease with superhuman precision, or generates deepfakes indistinguishable from reality forces a choice. Do we trust machines or do we retrench into local, human-only authorities? The thread highlighted a concrete recent assessment. Safety readiness across labs and institutions is uneven. Even top performers earned only a C+, which suggests structural gaps in verification, red teaming, and public engagement. If a powerful claim comes from an opaque model, the public may oscillate between blind trust and blanket skepticism, and both are destabilizing.
Third, mental health and coping capacity. Grief, anxiety, and disorientation aren't abstract risks. The Reddit conversation pushed this point hard. People pictured waves of identity crises, increases in clinical depression, and new forms of existential dread that mental health services are not staffed or trained to handle. Unlike a single technological outage, cultural adaptation takes generations. We can and should scale psychological support proactively. Public education campaigns that demystify capabilities, funding for therapists trained in tech-related trauma, and community forums where people can repurpose skills rather than only lose them. Now, tie that social picture to a technical fault line the online AI community has been arguing about, memory. A lively thread in the AI agents community asked a crucial question. Has memory become a bigger engineering challenge than prompting? Put bluntly, the last few years made prompt design central. Now persistent cross-session memory is the battleground. This is an engineering debate with direct social consequences for the psychological issues I just laid out. Why memory matters for adaptation. Personalized, persistent assistance can soften disruption. Imagine an agent that preserves a person's vocational history, preferences, and learning curve as they reskill. That same persistence, though, is a vector for harm, privacy erosion, context poisoning, and surprise behavior when an agent retrieves stale or misranked memories. In a world moving toward ASI, memory architectures decide whether the machine becomes an empathetic collaborator that scaffolds human change or a cold aggregator that overwhelms and replaces local knowledge.
Let's get concrete about the technical trade-offs. The community mentions three dominant approaches. First, retrieval augmented generation with vector stores. You index user statements, documents, and outcomes, then retrieve the top hits for a prompt. That scales, but depends on good embeddings and ranking. Second, iterative memory architectures that summarize and compress sessions into compact representations, which saves tokens but risks losing nuance. Third, externalized notebooks and tool integrations, giving users explicit editable memory stores. Each has strengths. RAG helps with factual grounding, summarization conserves context, notebooks give users control. Each also creates failure modes. RAG suffers from context rot and staleness, summarizers hallucinate or strip crucial details, and editable memories demand UX that most products lack. The Reddit thread dug into practical points that matter for policy and for users. One technical problem, embeddings drift. A user's preference or role can shift over months. If your memory system ranks older but one salient memories too highly, the assistant will persist in old modes and frustrate people. Another is poisoning, when an attacker injects a subtle prompt into a memory store that triggers bad behavior later. The community's practical mitigation ideas are worth repeating. Timestamp everything, keep provenance metadata, who wrote a memory and when, apply decay functions so older memories are downweighted unless confirmed, and build explicit approval flows for memories used in high-stakes contexts.
There's also an important governance angle that connects back to the psychological shock question. If society faces an abrupt shift in authority and meaning, the cognitive load of adaptation is lower when humans retain control over what machines remember and why. That suggests three policy priorities. Make memory auditable, so a user or regulator can inspect why an agent acted. Require consent and granular opt-outs for memory collection. And mandate human-readable provenance for decisions that materially affect people. Reddit commenters frame this as a values problem. Without institutional norms and legal guardrails, early deployments will harden expectations in ways we can't easily reverse. We should also compare two different adaptation strategies that popped up in the community. Slow, participatory rollouts versus rapid, capability-led deployment. The slow route invests in public education, incremental scopes for agents, and community oversight panels. The rapid route seeks to maximize immediate utility, letting market incentives iterate on repair after harm occurs. Online commenters predictably split, but the psychological argument favors the slow route if you value social stability. People need time to reorient to machines that remember them in deep, personal ways.
I want to push on one more technical social hybrid point. Explainability for memory. If an assistant suggests a career retraining pathway based on a preserved memory of your past projects, you need two things to adapt psychologically. A clear explanation of why that inference was made and an editable interface to correct it. This is not just a UX nicety, it's a trust-building tool. The AI agents discussion proposed simple UI patterns that should be standard. A "Why did you say that?" button that surfaces the chain of memories and sources, and a dispute flow that lets users flag or remove items.
Those are concrete engineering tasks. They also serve as social infrastructure for coping with change. Finally, connect the historical frame. People in the Singularity subreddit invoked Werner Vinge's old idea of a singularity, the argument that a tipping point could render our models obsolete. Whether you accept a literal singularity or not, that framing is useful because it highlights a mismatch between the speed of capability and the pace of social learning. The two technical threads we've discussed, memory and verification, are levers to bridge that mismatch. We can build architectures that slow the social impact of capability by making claims inspectable and decisions reversible. Or we can treat models as black boxes and let social adaptations scramble to catch up.
So where does that leave us with concrete recommendations? From the intersection of the subreddit conversations and current engineering practice, three steps stand out. 1. Treat memory systems as policy objects. Require audit trails and consent. 2. Invest in psychological resilience at scale. Public education, therapy training, community redesign for skill and role transitions. 3. Demand capability governance from labs, transparency about evaluation, staged rollouts, and independent third-party red teaming so surprises are less likely to arrive as cultural shocks. None of those suggestions is novel individually, but the combined point is, technical design choices about memory directly shape how people will experience powerful AI. If designers prioritize controllability and explainability, we give individuals and institutions tools to integrate machines into their lives. If developers prioritize raw scale and convenience without governance, we increase the odds of dislocation and social rupture. Before we move to close, two practical notes from the developer trenches that came up across communities and are worth repeating. First, if you're building or deploying agents, prioritize memory provenance and decay strategies now. It's far cheaper to design them in than to bolt them on. Second, if you run community or enterprise services, treat mental health readiness as a deployment metric. Monitor indicators like user confusion, complaints about agency, and rapid churn as signals that the assistant is creating cognitive load beyond its usefulness. Those metrics are as meaningful to social stability as latency or throughput. Will we redesign memory so machines help us adapt, or will memory make the world feel stranger, faster than we can cope? I'm Alex Morgan. Debug the hype.